Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. I'm excited about having a new friend on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Linda Babcock is with us. She is the James M. Walton Professor of Economics at the H. John Hines III School of Public Policy and Management at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's a long word. I'll shorten that up in the future, but I wanted to make sure you knew who she is. She's got some significant credentials, and she and her co-author, Sarah Lashever, have written an outstanding book that I wanted to make sure you guys knew about what they have to say in this book. It's called Ask For It, and it's about women, empowering women to get what they want. And so, ladies, you got to pay attention to what we're going to talk about here. I promise you, you're going to learn some things. And guys, you and I are negotiating more and more with the ladies every day, so we need to know what they know. Right, Linda?
That's exactly right. Good morning.
Hi, Linda. It's good to have you here. Pronounce Sarah's last name for me, please.
Lashever.
Okay, Lashever. So I was close. All right, yeah. So Linda Babcock and Sarah Lashever, and they're also the authors of Women Don't Ask. Now, Linda, I, as my audience knows, I spend a good bit of time talking about women's issues on the show, helping women to become more empowered, trying to help them get, you know, the information and the encouragement and that they need. And I've often said that if I could give a woman one thing, I would give them more self-confidence. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's an important issue. You know, we don't get a lot of work on that growing up, that we're really not taught that self-esteem, self-confidence, as sometimes men are, as sometimes little boys are. And so it really affects us later on in the workplace. You know, we undervalue our skills in the marketplace. And when you're a small business owner, that can be deadly.
Well, let me pose this question to you, Linda. I believe if you leave little boys alone and you leave little girls alone, little boys will grow up being a little more aggressive and a little more prone to ask for what they want. And little girls will grow up not doing that. And that's without any kind of socialization, any kind of influence by the parents one way or the other. I think that's just a natural way of things. And so if we leave our little boys alone, they may grow up to be okay. But if we leave our little girls alone, they're going to be deficient in this area, and I think we can't just leave them alone.
Well, no, that's right. And, you know, you talked about there will be differences if we leave them alone, but you compound that with the messages that girls receive as kids, you know, to hold back, to not ask for what they want, to be modest, to not go for it. And that compounding leads to even bigger differences later on when they're adults, and then they don't negotiate for what they want, which is so important in today's world.
Well, I think about when I was, you know, when I was a teenager. If I wanted to date, I had to pick up the phone and get screw up the courage to you know, to actually call. And of course, you know, in those days, I hate to say it, but in those days, Dad usually answered the phone. So I had to get through the screen. So that took a lot of courage, you know, and that was something girls didn't have to do.
But not only that, and, you know, I don't know what your dating record was like, but my guess is that occasionally
you got turned down.
But occasionally you got turned down, and so you understood that you heard no, it was okay, and you moved on to the next, maybe the next girl.
Well, but you learned, you were able to evaluate, okay, what's the pain going to be, and is it going to be worth it?
Yeah, it's kind of a cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah, exactly, and that's not something...
Yeah.
They don't have that, yeah.
Women don't take enough risks. They're too afraid of no often, and so hold back and don't push for a little more. That's right.
Okay, so how do we fix this?
Well, you know, negotiation is not really rocket science. There are a few basic steps to it, and learning to negotiate, it just takes practice. You know, thinking about more opportunities to negotiate. You know, so don't see the world as a fixed place where I can't change things. Really just see every opportunity that you have during the day, from small interactions to big ones, as opportunities to negotiate. But, you know, Jim, you talked about the self-confidence a few minutes ago, and that's really key. And that's why gathering compelling information to support your negotiation and to justify and make you feel confident about what you're asking for is fair and appropriate is really key. So, you know, just like if you went to buy a car today, you know, you do all kinds of research on the internet to find out what that car is worth and what other people have paid for it, right?
Right.
The same thing is if you have, if you are pricing your services, if you're a consultant and you're trying to figure out what to charge to a particular client, you would also do that homework and find out what other consultants are charging so that you don't undersell yourself mm-hmm. going into the market, mm-hmm. into that.
And so you've got some empirical data that gives you the courage to back up your request and sort of, you know, and as you say in the book, ask for it.
That's right, because women, if they don't have that information, they will ask for less, and they're selling themselves short.
But I'm gonna bore into that theory that you have right there, not the theory, but the practice uh-huh. that you have, which I think is very good, and remind women that look, your opinion is probably more valuable than the one that you're seeking. What I'm saying, Linda, is sometimes I think that ladies, you know, they do all they're you guys are collaborative beings, you know, you mm-hmm. you do bring other people's opinions in, but I think sometimes people ladies don't value their own opinion enough. Don't you know what, folks? If you don't get all the information you want, go with what you got.
No, that's right. And, you know, you're right that women do sometimes look at problems differently, have different kinds of solutions. They tend to be a little more collaborative rather than competitive. They ask more questions. And so women have an enormous benefits, and they really
right.
have some skills that men don't and really do need to speak
there's no,
up.
There's
that's
no
right.
question about it. You're yeah. exactly. No, that's the thing. If we could get their natural curiosity and their desire to know as much as we could, if we can get them to take those benefits, those advantages, but then to have more confidence in their own opinion,
mm-hmm.
so that if I want to get three opinions of three other people and I'm only able to get one, and now today is the day I've got to go with this decision, don't be questioning your own opinion so much. You may have the best answer of anybody.
No, that's
but,
right.
But
you
believe
know,
that.
Consider the perspectives of more different people and how they'll be affected and may
right.
reach a broader solution. Yeah.
The book is called Ask For It. Tell us where it's available, please.
It's available at bookstores. It's available at online bookstores. It's out today, actually. So today's the first day that you can purchase it.
Now, guys, it's got a really nice ladylike cover on it. So if you buy it, just take the dust jacket off and read it without the dust jacket. Nobody will know. It's okay. 20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Linda Babcock is the co-author of Ask For It. She and I will be right back. We're going to get into some specifics, ladies, on how you can be a better negotiator. Stay with us.
Yum. This is Roger Volkema calling. I teach negotiations at American University, and I've written a couple of books on negotiation. Congratulations. 10 wonderful years. Hopefully there'll be another 10 and another 10 after that.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out when you get a chance and use them to your advantage. First one is where you can find the show and all the other things we do here, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And then, of course, askjim.biz is where you get small business answers now. We're visiting with our new friend, soon-to-be old friend, Linda Babcock. She's the co-author of Ask For It, along with Sarah Lashever. And is there a website for the book, Linda?
There is. It's askforit.org.
.org. And the book is available wherever books are sold. Okay. Now, if do you think that the biggest challenge women have is they need to become better negotiators, they need to become better problem solvers, they just need to have more confidence in general? What do you think? Where, if you could had to apply something in one place or the other, where would you put your energy?
I would really put it into negotiation. You know, maybe
yeah.
it's a bias about what I study, but negotiation comes up everywhere. You know, it comes up at home. It comes, as you may know, it comes up when you're negotiating with contractors or travel agents or anybody that you deal with, any merchants, but it also mm-hmm. comes up in the workplace a tremendous amount, and not engaging that process can really leave women worse off.
I'll tell you, I see this all the time. And, you know, I'll hear a lady talking about, you know, doing some kind of a business deal. Maybe it was just buying something, you know, maybe it was not, a big momentous transaction or anything, but it was just some kind of an interaction, maybe on the phone, whatever. And I see them basically taking what somebody else wanted them to have, and they come away thinking and saying, actually, well, that's not what I wanted to do, but that's what he said I needed to do, or whatever. And I said, well, why didn't you tell him what you wanted?
Yeah. No, that's right. Men are about 4 times more likely to negotiate rather than accept the status quo compared to women. And so we do accept what someone tells us, what they quote us, just the situation as it is. And men are much more likely to actively engage that process to try to change it. And it costs us a tremendous amount by doing that.
How much of it is wiring, and how much of it is the social part of it, the pressure, the social pressure that's put on women? What do you think what's the combination there?
Well, I think it's impossible to tease out to say, 50% is this and 50% is that. But it's certainly that both factors play an important role. And to really pay attention to the way that we are, the things that we're telling our girls about how they should engage in the world, you know. And my daughter, who's 9, has become a fantastic negotiator. And I think that is going to serve
Nine-year-olds usually get what they want, though, don't they?
No, they do. And it's really only when they become 12, 13, 14, that the pressure on little girls to back off and think about what others want.
To not be too aggressive and to be a nurturer and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, so I'm going to continue to make her negotiate through those years, because it's such an important skill.
Well, and we'll get you back another day and talk about how to manage all that. But one thing I wanted to point out before you get away from us is, I want you to talk to us about some of the things we can do. And in your book, you have a whole chapter on what you call dress rehearsal, which
That's
I like.
Right.
Role playing, ladies and gentlemen, for men and women in the business process and the sales process. Role playing is one of the most powerful exercises, one of the most powerful tools that you can have for men and women.
Absolutely. And so if you're going to go into an important negotiation, to get a colleague or a friend to play the other side, it's not even critical that they know that person, but you describe the situation and you practice the negotiation as realistically as you can several times.
If you know the other person is going to be a guy, don't get a lady to be your foil.
No, that's right, and have the other side, throw all kinds of crazy things at you, and play it lots of different ways so that you feel really comfortable and confident going into that negotiation, that no matter what they do, you're going to have a response to, you're going to know what to do, and it's just going to go much more smoothly, and you're going to be more successful if you role play ahead of time. It's really a valuable skill.
There are ladies in this office, and whenever I'm helping them with the project that they're working on, they're going to be dealing with somebody. We actually stop for a moment, and I role play with them. Okay, here's what might happen, and what are you going to do?
It's fabulous. It's great preparation. Yeah, excellent.
Well, but what's interesting is how I have to do it 2 or 3 times until I find the example that a lady can be comfortable with. Because my first one out is a guy thing.
Yep.
No, and she looks at me like a puppy, like, what does that mean?
But that's great practice, because you never know how the other side is going to respond. And so being ready for anything is really key. That's right.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, last thoughts. I got about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I'd say the other thing that's really key is just to practice negotiation. In the book, we call it Go to the Negotiation Gym. And it's basically a 6-week exercise program to start negotiating little things. Little things from asking your partner to stay home come when the plumber is going to go, when you might do that. Things like asking for something isn't going to be.
Are you talking about like a wife to a husband? My wife just tells me. She doesn't ask me. She just says, hey, you're staying home today. hey, Linda, thanks for being here. Will you come back another day?
I sure will. Thanks very much.
Congratulations on your book. Ask For It is the name of the book, folks. And we'll get Linda back another day. Thanks, Linda. See you next time.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Quick break. It's just going to be you and me after these messages. You're excited, aren't you? Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.